Super. So welcome, everybody, to the Thursday afternoon coaching group for Coaches Club. Just a reminder, what we're going to cover in the call is we'll do a little check-in from our last call. We'll let everybody identify an area that you're struggling with, and then we'll introduce a coaching skill and figure out how you might be able to address it. And then I will ask for somebody who wants to volunteer to get coaching. So if you feel like there's an issue you really want to deal with, this is a great opportunity to get a little coaching around it. And we'll leave making sure everybody has a little action in place. Any questions before I get started? Okay. Just if you've got background noise, just remember to go ahead and mute your own phone. If I begin to hear it, I'll mute you. So if you're trying to say something, just press star 2. And I will recognize that you're looking for saying something. But otherwise, I'd prefer to keep everybody unmuted so everybody can talk. So so check in. Where are we? Last week we talked about activating the brain, and everybody made some commitments and some decisions. So little check-in. How are things going? What's going on with everybody? And don't all jump at once.
I'll talk.
I can start. Oh, I always do that.
Okay, somebody said I'll talk, and then I can do that in a second.
I'm Jean Marie, and I said I'll talk. It's been a horrible and a wonderful week, and I guess this is what we have to get used to because I'm just like, anyway, Elaine, I read your, I don't know if it was a blog or a post or what it was about, you know, from the birth of your daughter through to present and everything you've gone through. And I read that a week ago, and it just, you know, absolutely resonated with me. And but I thought, oh, there's, you know, that is so severe. I mean, you went through so much. And I guess I'm realizing that these ups and downs are going to be constant every day. And the sooner I accept this is the way our life's going to be, I guess the better or easier it'll get. But I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
So
it's the roller coaster ride is really rocky right now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And part of what you said is I'm really so there with you is that sometimes it just is and we have to accept that. And the other thing I want you to hear is that you're in the process of smoothing it out. Like it will get easier, but it does take some time.
Yeah.
And then right. There are those. It's like, you know, if that's why we use that roller coaster analogy, because sometimes you're going up that hill and you can breathe, and then sometimes you're flying down and you can't.
Right.
And it is going to be up and down and sideways.
Yeah.
But part of the goal of this process is to help you get to a point where you can handle it no matter what comes at you.
Right. And that's
right.
Where I continue to need help because I feel like I'm failing miserably, but, you know,
yeah.
I know that's not the case, but at the same time, it's just, you know, anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse. That's all. That's all I got.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for sharing it. I know it's a hard space and know that you're on the path. And this is one of those places where you have to have patience with yourself as well as with your kids.
Right. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I'll go. This is Joelle. And it's interesting because I was going to say a lot of the same thing. It's been down. We had a couple of really good days these last 2 days. And one of the things I keep wondering, and I'm glad to hear other parents say that it's up and down because I keep thinking, is this ADHD or is it like a mood disorder? Because one day he's like kind of, you know, focused for him in a good mood. And then the next day, and he's five, so or almost five. So he's tantruming and, you know, upset and really all over the place. And I just can't, you know, I'm like, what is it? Like, what do I do to keep him happy and regulated? It's just, I feel like, you know, we're sleeping on time and he's eating pretty well. And I can't figure it out. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. So, I don't know. I guess that is part of ADHD's up and down stuff.
That's right. Yeah, So, you know, I wouldn't be able to say to you one way or the other that there may or may not also be a mood disorder. But uh-huh. what I will say to you is that that is very typical of ADHD.
Okay.
Because it's about self-regulation, right? And so that mm-hmm. includes that ability to regulate emotion.
Right.
And so, yes, it's going to be erratic. And, yes, over time, you'll learn to manage it and you'll help your child learn to manage it.
Right. And I assume as they get older, maybe it helps. Maybe,
yes. Yeah, ideally. Here's the thing. It helps as they get older if you're doing what you guys are all doing, which is you're consciously managing it. Where it doesn't get better when it gets older is if you ignore it and don't address it.
Mm-hmm.
But what this process is going to help you to do is to really begin to learn how to set clear expectations, how to be with it while it's happening so you can begin to slowly change it and mold it into the kind of responses that you'd like for them to have. Does that mm-hmm. help a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always say, you know, if you could bring me a kid at 7 instead of 17 every time, or not really the kid, but the parent, mm-hmm. because how you interact with that 7-year-old is going to determine who she or he is going to be at 17.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the parents who come to me at 17 at the end of their rope, it's a heck of a lot harder to shift that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing. And again, I hear that there are a lot of people in a hard place, and so it's got to feel good to know you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
It does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just anybody else that either wants to sort of share where you are or a little feedback on how it's been going with activating the brain since last call?
This is Lindsay. I wasn't on the last call, but I definitely can relate to what both the other parents are talking about in terms of the kind of moodiness factor, and that's something I'm always kind of chiming in on. But we've actually had some external circumstances that have really inflamed the situation. My daughter's grandmother, my former mother-in-law, is terminally ill. And so my daughter, who's 8, who's extremely close to her grandmother, is grappling with the end stages of her life. And it's been really hard because even last night trying to, and you know, some of it's just normal grief kind of going through kind of the anticipation of losing her grandmother because she does know what's going on. We've kept her kind of apprised of the situation so it wouldn't be a tremendous, well, it's going to be a tremendous shock either way you look at it. But just to try and kind of give her an opportunity to process things. But she's become really angry and is kind of deflecting from the real situation and being mad at everything else.
Yeah.
So she's got this base level of frustration anyway with
right.
the ADHD, and now we've got this kind of layer added onto the whole thing. So it's been really rough.
Yeah. But what I like about what I hear you saying is that you understand what it's coming from, and so that
yeah.
enables you to approach it from a place of empathy instead of from anger or frustration yourself.
Yeah, my ex-husband's having a bit of a hard time with it. Last night, you know, Sydney started out being upset about hearing that Grandma was no longer in the position of being able to talk anymore. And that was devastating to all of us. But then she quickly turned on the phone talking to him to, and Daddy won't play with me, and he won't do this, and he won't do that. He went into this whole tirade of things that had nothing to do with what we were talking about, and he was a bit shocked, and I just kind of had to bring it back to him and say, look, this is how she's trying to process and deal with
exactly.
everything. Don't be too offended by it. I said, she does it to me all the time, you know. but yeah, that's
so
just something that's additional we're dealing with, so it's been hard.
So, again, thanks for sharing. This is hard week, everyone.
Can I jump in, Elaine, real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Tracy. It's so, I don't know the right word. I don't know the right
validating.
Word, but it's a relief. Validating. I was going to say it's a relief or it's validating because the moods, I tend to be real steady. And it's hard to wake up in the morning and not have any idea how the day is going to go or the morning is going to go, because the moods are so, they swing so high and so low, and they look like anger, and then they really get, I don't know if anyone else has an oppositional issue, but
Oh, yes.
It's really oppositional, no matter if it's over, like what's for dinner, what sports team to root for, whatever I choose, the opposite. It's hard to enjoy that, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if oppositional is behavior is part of it or not, but we struggle with that too on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. So there was a workshop at the ACO a couple of years ago that Rudy Rodriguez did, and he's been an expert on our site a couple of times. He's done some great work. And he interpreted some of the research that's been done on ADD. And, you know, there's a lot of new research that's now pointing to emotionality as one of the components. It didn't used to be considered as part of ADD, but we know that it's there, and they're finally beginning to identify it. And he didn't draw the conclusion and say ODD is really ADD, but he did say that ODD didn't show up until after ADD did, or ADHD. There, I use them interchangeably. And what his presentation implied was that when we manage the emotionality of ADHD, that will manage a lot of the ODD issues, and that there is a link, but that it's possible that ODD is just sort of another way of seeing the emotionality of ADD. So I won't present that as fact or research, but what I will say that I've found with the clients that I work with is that when we actively address those emotionality issues, when we use some of these skills around it, and that's actually what we're going to talk about today. It's a great topic for today, because today we're going to talk about parenting positively. When we use that, oftentimes some of that oppositional defiance behavior will begin to pull away, or we'll be able to learn how to redirect it as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not exclusively, but it absolutely helps. And that's why somebody had asked, one of the things we had sent y'all last week was the information about minimize meltdowns. And somebody had asked, you know, is that too much to do now while I'm in the middle of all of this other, while we're doing the parent success system, is it too much? And the thing about minimized meltdowns is it's sort of like a crash course in how to handle these emotionality issues. And so if it's within the range of resource for any of you, I do recommend it, not because I'm trying to sell you one more thing, but because it covers very quickly what it would take us months to cover in this kind of a format. And it's literally about focusing on the child and on yourself in terms of both prevention and management all around this issue of emotional intensity. And I like to call it emotional intensity, because that's what these kids are dealing with. Everything is intense for them, including their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk some about how to address that today. But I do want to say that the reason we're suggesting minimized meltdowns for those of you who are struggling with it is because you can, you know, put it on your screen at home. You can get through the entire course in a couple of hours, really. Not all the extra materials, but certainly get through the core curriculum part of it. And it will give you the context for how to manage this that I think is really helpful. So let's move on to, you know, everybody's clearly dealing with lots of ups and downs and lots of emotionality. I want to encourage each of you to pinpoint one area of focus that you want to focus on this week. And I want to encourage you to narrow in a little bit. So instead of the big issue of emotionality, you might focus on talking back or accepting no, or try to get a little more specific on what's the single challenge you'd like to try to help your child address in the next couple of weeks. And if anybody wants to share it, that's great. And if you don't, that's fine too. But identify one area of challenge.
This is Tracy. I'll go. Just talking respectfully to me and others too. It's not just me, but being respectful to other people in
okay.
a way that
respectful. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
This is Joelle. We have an issue with Tig running away when he's upset. So, like,
okay.
And maybe it's just a coping thing, and we should be
yep.
okay with it. But it happens even if he hurts another child, or, you know, if he rips a sticker that he was trying to put on a paper. I mean, anything. He just like runs off. And maybe
so,
part of the way he regulates, so I don't know if I should totally try to correct it, or I don't
well,
know.
Well, so can I redirect it a little bit?
Yes.
It, is that it sounds like the challenge is not about the running away. The challenge is how does he handle it when something doesn't go the way he wants?
Yes. Which
is that
common.
What we're talking about?
Yeah, pretty much what I bring up every week.
Whenever he makes
yeah.
a mistake is my bet?
It's a mistake, or he hurts somebody, or somebody gets upset with him. You know, somebody rejects
all of which
him
he sees as his mistake.
Way. Yeah.
Right? Whether someone's upset with him or he accidentally did something, he still sees it as he's wrong, he's bad.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's hard when there's another kid involved and you need him to kind of apologize and make it right.
Yep.
But.
No question. But what I'm hearing you saying, and
mm-hmm.
push back if it doesn't feel like it's right, but what I'm hearing you saying is that he hasn't yet figured out how to handle it when someone thinks he's done something wrong in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Lindsay. I can relate to that, and I have kind of two, but the talking back is one thing, but this idea of accountability and how you one should respond to something, like you said, when either they've done something wrong or the perception is that they've done something wrong. Because my daughter explains every action that she ever takes is an accident.
Right.
And I tell her, no, you know, not everything is an accident. You may not have fully meant to do it, but the lack of, and I don't phrase it this way to her, but the lack of impulse control means that she's doing things and perhaps not processing that she
right.
shouldn't be doing them.
Okay. So, and just a comment here to both of these last two comments. Remember, I think in our first or second call, we talked about these kids always feeling wrong and not wanting to be wrong, and so they make up stories and they lie and they become extremely defensive, uber defensive,
yeah.
because they're just tired of being wrong. And this is another manifestation of that, that teaching them how to be okay with making mistakes can be one of the greatest gifts you'll ever give them.
This is Jean Marie, and that's exactly, I'm in the exact same place. And, I mean, so we're getting there. I mean, I think, I don't know that I'm making any improvement.
Okay. Well, so
taking
is that
responsibility
what you
and,
on this week as well?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So we're going to just sort of focus this on sort of teaching them to make mistakes a little bit.
And being okay with it, right? And that's
exactly.
What
exactly.
Daughter doesn't get either.
Creating an environment where making mistakes is safe and where they don't feel that need to defend. And understand, guys, that it's not we're not doing it wrong because they feel that way. This is about beginning to shift to try to help them learn to manage it. So anybody else? Got something you want to work on this week that you want to share? Okay. So let's talk about our topic for the week, and then we'll do some coaching around it. And it all ties in. So it's an ideal topic, honestly, for us for this week. The topic is about parenting, what we call parenting positively. And we sort of tie using humor into it because it can be a really particularly effective tool if you know how to use it, if you're comfortable using it. If laughter and humor is a part of your sort of approach to the world, then it's the best tool you've got at your disposal. If it's harder for you, and Diane and I joke about it because I can make a joke about anything and it's a harder tool for her to use, then it takes a little bit more work with it. But parenting positively is about really focusing on your relationship with your child. And I hear a lot of you already in this conversation talking about your awareness of that. So you're already trying to do this. You're already consciously involved in a process like this. You get that these kids aren't doing this to be mean or to be bad. You're already giving them that benefit of the doubt and understanding that there's something else going on for them that's causing them to behave in the way that they're behaving. So that positive perspective is very powerful, and you're just what I'm hearing from everybody is you're already on the path. So today is more of a reminder and a little bit of let's see what strategies we can come up with to help you do it more. But I want you to all hear that what I'm hearing consistently from every one of you is that you have this concept. You get that this is how you want to be parenting, and sometimes it can be really hard and really frustrating to do, right? So the way I like to look at this is to ask yourself, what does my child need right now? And let that be your guide. Because sometimes we get caught up in the logistics of what should they be doing or what should we be doing. And when we stop and pull back and say, what's his experience? What's her perspective on this? When we sort of put ourselves in their mind's eye, that can help to begin to shift how we begin to respond to them. And a lot of this begins with literally that first reaction to when something doesn't go the way we want it or the way that we expect it for them. And the best example, I used this example in a video Diane and I were doing yesterday, of positive parenting. If you ask your child to take to clear his plate and put it in the dishwasher, a typical parenting approach, typical response for an ADD child would be to take the plate, maybe to take the plate and get it to as far as the sink, if you're lucky. Maybe to get it knocked off into the trash can, if you're really lucky to get it rinsed off and then put down in the sink. It's a lot of steps to get from the table to the dishwasher, unless you're lucky and you have one of those dishwashers where you don't have to rinse anything off before you run it. So it's a multi-step process, and for some of these kids, it's going to take them a while to get all the way through, and they forget or get distracted in the middle. So typical response when we say, could you clear your plate and put it in the dishwasher, the typical response might be to say, I asked you to clear your plate and put it in the dishwasher, which is true. And that's what sort of triggers that defensiveness with our kids. The positive parenting approach might be to say, thank you so much for getting your plate to the sink. Great job. Could you go ahead and finish it and get it into the dishwasher, please? So that you are continuing the request of them. You're still holding them accountable, but you're starting by acknowledging what they did do. And the fact that they even responded to your request at all could be acknowledgeable. We tend to think we shouldn't have to acknowledge them for what they should be doing as children. We shouldn't have to acknowledge them for following our directions, for being respectful, for doing what we say when we say it, because that's what we expect of them. But everybody likes positive encouragement, and everybody likes to be acknowledged for what they're doing well. And our kids get so much acknowledgement for what they're doing wrong. And, you know, that whole 3-to-1 or 5-to-1 rule, we used to think it was 5-to-1, although I've heard recently that research is closer to 3-to-1. 3-to-1 positives to every negative or redirection or correction. So positive parenting is in part about really finding whatever we can to acknowledge and help our kids see what they're doing right instead of only seeing the places where there is a redirection. And it helps us and it helps them. It helps us because it begins to help us see what they are doing instead of only seeing what they're not doing. And when we break things down into small pieces that way, we can begin to see, wow, I'm actually asking him to do 4 things, not just 1. And that's a multi-step direction. That's a lot for a 9-year-old to do, especially with ADD, right? So it gives us a way to gain some perspective on what we're asking of them and to shift those expectations, which we've talked about before and we'll talk about again next week. And as I mentioned, using humor, I find, is the most effective way for me. For my kids, it's magic, but we've also created a culture of humor in my house, so we make jokes about everything. And we try not to be sarcastic because a lot of kids, especially our kids, don't understand the nuances of sarcasm, and so it just feels more critical to them. But to really try to be playful and joke and, you know, and make comedy wherever it can, so that if there's something I've asked him to do and he hasn't done it, instead of saying, you haven't done it, I might make a joke about, oh no, that cut on your arm, it's bleeding out, you're never going to make it. I wouldn't, you know, something completely unrealistic, completely ridiculous, completely silly can often bring these kids back in from that brink of they're about to lose it to a point where you can get them to function again or keep moving forward on what you're asking of them. So I want to stop here and have a little conversation. What's coming up for you as you're hearing this?
This is Lindsay. I do this sometimes at my house when Sydney will start throwing a fit. And more recently, y'all may have seen it. There was a video that was out on YouTube or something. I'd seen it on Yahoo News about a man who had a six-year-old daughter who was throwing a massive fit, and he filmed himself then parroting the fit. And it can kind of, in my house, go one of two ways. Sometimes it happens like it happened for that man where it just kind of inflames the child.
Yep.
And other times it kind of breaks Sydney out of whatever it is that she's doing. You know, if she's hollering at me, I'll kind of do it right back. Mom, you're mean. I hate you. You know, and kind of make a face and be real dramatic about it back at her. And it kind of catches her like, what? And snaps her out of it. But other times it can backfire. So
yeah, you have that one's a hard one to do because you don't want them to think you're making fun of them.
Right, exactly.
Wants to take pictures of my son every time he was having a tantrum.
Oh, my goodness.
And let me tell you, when I would take out that camera, it would infuriate him and it would inflame him. So it wasn't actually the best solution for him. But you got to try different things to know what's going to work and what's not. So anybody else, what comes up as you're hearing this concept of positive parenting, parenting positively?
For us, it's completely essential. And my sister-in-law is actually really great at that. And so I watched her raise our niece like that. Like she would just tickle her when she was tantruming and she would just automatically switch. Mm. So we try that. And we use tickling a lot or, you know, sometimes my husband will just flip our son upside down. Again, tactics that work on a five-year-old, but we got to up our game as he gets older. But it totally, totally works with our son.
Great.
Because the more we react, the worse he gets, like times 10.
Right. Thanks. Anybody else?
I'm such a barometer for my daughter's behavior and emotionality that I have a hard time because if I give the slightest nuance of irritation, she's on it and knows that I'm bothered and we're already racing down the hill. And that's partly because I was diagnosed adult ADD, and so I'm trying to get a handle on myself while I'm also trying to help her get a handle.
Right.
So we're both, you know, having trouble.
Have you been out with her about that?
Yeah, I have. Good. I have, but she is still so, she still perceives the ADHD as such a negative, bad thing that she's stupid and that. And I constantly explain that, or not explain, I constantly discuss that, you know, it's just the way our brains work and that's okay. And it makes us special in way other ways. You have a fabulous brain. It just works a little differently and mine is the same. And that's why we sort of butt heads a lot because of this, you know, condition. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But she is, I don't know if she's hearing me sometimes, maybe she is, but other times it is just the bane of her existence. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't have to make it be about her when you do that. You can just talk to her about your experience without applying it to her.
Okay.
So, wow, I just realized I am irritated, and that's not cool because there's absolutely no reason to be irritated with you. That's my ADD again. But I'm going to take a deep breath, and then let's start again.
Right.
Right,
okay.
So that it's got nothing to do with her. In fact, it's modeling for her that you're struggling with the same thing.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Okay, great.
So even more that you own it, and that sort of ties into this whole idea of teaching them to make mistakes. I read a great piece a year or so ago. I heard Sarah Blakely speak. Do y'all know who she is? She invented Spanx. And she's this, she's an entrepreneur, a young woman who just is like, you know, young woman billionaire, just created this amazing industry. And she was speaking and she talked about the reason she thinks she was able to create Spanx, even though she had no background in retail, no background in sales, no background in business, and no background in fashion. And the reason she gave is that her dad taught her to fail. And that they would actually sit at the dinner table every night, and the question at the dinner table every night was, what did you fail at today? And his reasoning was that if you taught people to fail, then if you're not failing, you're not stretching. And so she said she never, when she went, had the idea to do Spanx, it never occurred to her that she couldn't do it. Because what she had learned growing up was that if she kept trying something from different ways, she would eventually be able to do it because she learned to fail. And in the coaching world, we call it failing forward. And we'll talk about it again later in the year. But similar, Jean Marie, to the idea of owning the emotionality as your own and not applying it to her, it's something
right.
else that we as parents can do better. Every time you do something wrong, every time you make a mistake, every failure point you can point out of your own, point it out and make it be just okay.
Okay, great.
So not, I'm such an idiot, I can't believe I did that, which is
right.
something we tend to
yeah.
say out loud all too often, right? But,
right.
Oops, I forgot to do that. I'm so sorry. I'll make sure to send that note to your teacher. I really apologize. That's my mistake. And to model for them accepting your mistakes and not making yourself bad or wrong for it.
Right, right. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps.
Okay, great.
So any other questions or comments about positive parenting before we see who wants a little coaching around it? Okay, so is there anybody who wants to volunteer to get a little coaching? Don't all jump at once.
I think you've been giving it to me all morning so far.
Okay, so let's hone in. You want to do that?
Sure, sure.
Okay, tell me who I'm at. I can't tell if it's Lindsay or Jean Marie.
Jean Marie.
Okay, Jean Marie. So just tell us a little bit more, and again, we're trying to use the skill of positive parenting, if we can, to address the challenge that you're dealing with. So hone in for us a little bit. Choose some aspect of the challenge that you want to focus on.
Task initiation surrounding compliance. Is that...
Okay, say that in English.
Getting
started on something.
Yes, when I ask her to, you know, we get up, we've got her getting up fine to her own alarm clock. It's wonderful. She's up, she's dressed, she's ready. But then it comes time to get out the door to the bus, and we have a whole nother stall around getting out the door to the bus. And we have a huge another meltdown and problem. And so...
So let me be clear. So we're really talking about getting out the door to the bus.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. So so she's up and she's functioning. Has she had breakfast by this point?
We've had breakfast. She's taken her meds. But then, you know, if I'm not on top of my game and completely organized for time, trying to find a sweatshirt to put on or putting on the sweatshirt, grabbing the backpack, you know, all those things that we have the backpack right by the door, but she starts to fight me and be oppositional about just getting out the door. It's like she is trying to make us late.
Right.
Does
she like to get to school on time or get to the bus on time?
Yeah, because when we actually get there and actually waited for the bus and then thought we missed it and then saw it, but then it wasn't the right bus. We have a huge other meltdown, and it's all my fault, and, you know, I end up driving her to school and she's
all right,
there
wait,
early.
But let's just stay focused on the one topic, right? Because right now we're focused on getting out the door to the bus.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So, and what do you feel like's working for you? What are you doing already that you feel like is good positive parenting?
Well, good positive parenting is we've got her getting up to her own alarm clock, and I absolutely give her lots of strokes for that because, you know, it's taken a couple weeks, 3-4 weeks, but now she's getting up. She's great. She's sitting there with brushed hair, you know, and I'm making her breakfast. So I'm very happy about all that. It's that next step, and that's what I kind of talked about with her this morning, that, you know, I have to help you recognize the time constraints and getting out the door.
Okay.
Do
you have a clear time system for, like, when she has to be downstairs, when she has to be, you know, like, when you have to walk out the door, that kind of thing?
Right. And no, we don't. And that's where I mean, obviously we're stuck because I've got the first piece of it together. Now I have to put the second piece, and I have to have that time management in place so that she knows what is expected of her surrounding leaving the house, out the door, in the car.
Okay. Okay, so really there's a time management piece here, and I hear a couple of things. I hear time management. I hear setting really clear expectations and communicating them.
Right.
Yeah. I hear she's getting good accolades for what she's doing in terms of getting up and getting her hair brushed and all of that, which, by the way, if you've managed that in a few weeks, that's miraculous.
I'm being generous there, but yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
A whole lot better. So, yeah.
Kudos to you for that for a minute, okay? Because
right,
that's hard,
you.
hard to do. So by the time the stretch of time that we're talking about to get out the door, are we? And it's after breakfast.
It's
about
all
getting on
very consecutively. But go on, yeah.
Okay. So she's trying to do two things at one time?
We're probably doing a little bit of that, and that's, yes, right.
Okay.
Finishing up eating, getting a sweatshirt, we need to be out the door because, again, my time management hasn't been as good as it should, and so we're not starting early enough, you know, so that's a piece of it for sure.
Okay. So what I hear is really clearly getting it, the time frame set down. Positive parenting would have you do that with her.
Okay.
So if you were to frame a conversation with her, which would be better to have at a time not in the morning.
Right.
So this afternoon, this evening, whatever. Frame the conversation you would want to have with her about how to help make the mornings, that piece of the mornings, more effective.
Right.
And include in it owning your piece of it.
Okay. Carly, I want to just talk about this morning because, boy, did we have, you know, quite the morning. You and I was very upset. I got very emotional, and I'm sorry because I don't think I was very clear on what we needed to do. We were sort of last minute with the bus, and I didn't have a good time.
Can I stop you for a minute?
Yeah.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great. I want to just stop you for a minute and target in a little bit, okay? First thing, and this is a message to everyone, as soon as we say, I want to talk about, what do our kids think?
Trouble.
Yep, they're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So start with, I want to apologize to you.
Okay.
Because I lost it this morning. And that's not how I want to be.
Yep.
And sometimes it's hard for me, and I'm trying really hard, and I just wasn't as good as I could be this morning, and I'm sorry.
Right.
Not about
her. Done that before, and it's so effective. You're exactly right. Yep.
Right. But hear that it's not about her, it's about you, and it's just a simple, straightforward apology without making yourself wrong.
Okay.
That's the critical piece. Don't make yourself wrong here.
Okay.
So, and did you hear how when you were saying it, it got confused in with the stuff about the bus?
Yeah.
Or getting out or
yep.
whatever. So
right.
Be really clear. The apology was for losing it.
Right.
And
right.
It might also be one for, and you know, I realize I haven't planned this as well as I could, so I really want to do that.
Okay.
Now you get to engage her as an ally, ask for her help.
Okay.
So what comes next?
I'd like you to help me figure out how we could get out the door and catch the bus, smooth as silk for you so you're comfortable and feeling good about starting your day.
Great. What's the her likely response to that?
If I do it right, she'll be willing to hopefully figure something out and not, you know, not relive what we already went through.
Right. Okay. So those magic words, can you help me? Right?
Okay.
So this is, and I think oftentimes the magic word is, can I help you? How can I help you? And particularly as they get older, that conversation will shift to, this is the expectation, how can I help you be successful? But
okay.
Right now, you're enlisting her support.
Right.
I have to set the system up for our family. I could really use your input because I can't do it without you.
And I think that's a really important piece because I think we're sort of going through a power struggle here because she's 11, she's in middle school. I think she feels much more mature than she is, but
yep.
She wants to show it, and I'm not necessarily letting that happen. And, yeah, so that would go a long ways, I think.
Okay. And that's another place where positive parenting comes in. It's not trying to control everything, but letting go of what you can.
Right.
And giving them that authority and autonomy to be independent people from you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anything else? What else would you add or anything anybody else might want to contribute? Anybody chomping at the bit to add something? Okay. Jean Marie, anything else for you? What else on this? What sort of closes this loop for you?
I think the apology is paramount and in helping us heal and move forward because it happens, you know. We have great days and I do it well, and the other days I don't. And so if I can just reinforce that I kind of fell apart this morning and I'm sorry about that. So I hope I'll do better tomorrow, and let's see if we can figure out a new plan for the bus. Hopefully you'll help me with that.
I was going to say, you need to is going to put her on the defensive
right.
again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My language is so stuck. I need to really, I want to shift the way I speak.
And you just did right then.
Yeah. Okay.
You just shifted from need to want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So a lot of the consciousness will bring you there. Just this awareness you have to how I'm saying it and reframing how I'm saying it. Is a big part of the struggle for you, and you're doing it. You're very conscious about doing it. So, you know, give yourself the space for it to as I often say, the ship takes a while to turn.
Right. Right. Yep.
So asking her for help and, you know, and getting really clear with each other, that's where systems and structures come in on, you know, timing it backwards and what time do we need to have this and what time do we, you know, would it help to have this in order for us to be ready? And asking her what she needs. You know,
okay.
Getting really curious and clear about what's happening with her experience.
Okay, right, right.
So, you know, what
asking her what she needs. That's
her.
I think that's a big part, listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
There was a time, I actually posted something this morning about how nice mornings are in my house now. And our house had lots of screaming for lots of years, so understand it's. I was marveling this morning at how well everybody was getting along because I still remember those years of all the tension. And when I shifted it, part of the shift was we used to have family meetings fairly regularly, and I sat down at the family meeting and I said, so I had an awful morning this morning. Anybody else feel that way? And it sort of gave everybody else a chance to say, yeah, I hate it too. And so that it became everybody's agenda to want mornings to go well instead of having it be mine. And the truth is they don't want to be yelling and screaming and fitful and tantruming. They want to be more in control. And if they can express that it's something they want, then that can be something you're helping them work towards what they want, instead of feeling like they're doing it for you. And I think that's a lot of the fundamental piece of this positive parenting. It's about seeing them as independent and helping them find their motivation and their agenda for what we're trying to accomplish. And that comes up again in almost everything we do, of course. But it definitely shows up a lot here in this skill.
This is Lindsay. At my house, we'll sometimes have a do-over, what I call a do-over, where I've started to tell Sydney, look, can we start over? And she's actually started at times, if things have not been going well, she'll say, Mom, can we have a do-over and start over?
Oh, that's great.
That was kind of a milestone for us to have her recognize, wait a minute, like you're saying, I mean, inherently, she doesn't want it to go that way. She knows when it's not feeling good.
Right.
Regardless of who's, you know, potentially contributing to the situation, which in all instances, it's really both of us.
That's right.
It's the dynamic between us, so.
Well, and I was just actually, that's so funny because I was writing this as a coaching tip today. I didn't call it do-over. I called it something else, but I may borrow your language if that's okay because I like it. Yeah, I mean, just that stop and start again is a great tool to give everybody a chance to catch a breath and make nobody wrong. And the biggest piece here in the positive parenting is, you know, there's a philosophy and one of the core principles of coaching is that nobody gets to be wronged. And we are so good in our culture at blaming and finger-pointing and making people wrong. And when there can be mistakes that happen without people being at fault for them, and that's not to say you don't take responsibility, but start by first owning it and being okay with it, that's when things will begin to shift. So, Jean Marie, anything else for you? Sort of, I want to wrap this up into some closure for you. What do you feel like you focused on?
No, I think, you know, at the end of this conversation, it just comes back around to being more aware of what I'm saying and being aware of how it's coming across, and I know what to do. I just have to continue to work on it and not beat myself up about it, which is what I'm very good at. So I really have got to stop the who's wrong, who's right, and that's a really important – all the points you're saying are, you know, dead on. So I'm taking notes, and I'm going to, you know, move forward.
When you can always go back and listen to it again as well. But so it sounds like the clarity for you is to really get rid of the who's wrong, who's right.
Absolutely. It's in my background. It's a problem from my family of origin, you know, and I have got to get rid of that. Got to get rid of it.
Well, we all come by it rightly, whatever it is, it is. Right?
Yeah.
We all come by it
rightly. Yeah.
So, and you don't have to get rid of it. But what I hear is that you want to and you're choosing to, and you're taking action in that direction.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So any action you want to commit to this week?
Well, so many, but...
choose one or two that we can hold you accountable to.
Well, taking a deep breath before I say anything and owning my mistakes.
Great. So taking a deep breath.
And owning my mistakes just as quickly as I make them, but not in a negative way, just, oh, my gosh, that was, you know, I didn't mean to do that, you know.
Yep. Well, I was working with a private client this morning, and the term that came up was matter of fact. To the extent that we can just be matter of fact.
Right.
About whatever's happening and not imbue it with all this drama, right?
Yep.
We
give
power through drama. So
right.
Just owning the mistakes matter-of-factly.
Right. Yeah, I have on my kitchen fridge, I have a drama, you know, with the circle and the line through the middle of it.
Yep.
No drama. And I need one about as big as the room. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you're doing it. You're great. You're working on it. You're owning it. And at least here, you may start with that tendency to self-flagellate, but you're redirecting yourself consistently.
Okay, right.
So know that you're on the right path or on a good path, a healthy path. So last question for you is, how can you set yourself up for success?
I need to, I want to stay, how can I set myself up for success? Be positive. I need to be positive with myself. I don't know
what
if that's
that
a real
like
action step, but.
What does it look like for you to be positive with yourself?
To lighten up.
Lighten up?
To, yeah. Lighten up.
You ever,
and,
you ever see the movie Private Benjamin?
Yes. Yeah.
There's this great line, lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
We use that one a lot. Easy there, cowboy. Right?
Yeah, using humor to lighten up, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
Movie references help.
Okay. All right. Humor to lighten up. Is that an action step?
That's an action step.
Okay. That's my
action. Love it.
Right.
Okay, thanks for letting us play with this with you today. I'm sure
all right,
that it's
instructive
for other people as well. So just want to ask everybody else to ask yourself the same sort of closing questions. What did you learn or get clear about today? This is in your workbook on page 13. And how can you apply this to your life right now? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success? How can you set yourself up for success? Let's hear from a few people who want to share either what your clarity is from today or what's an action you want to commit to. Anybody who wants to share either your clarity or the action you want to commit to?
This is Tracy. I want to commit to, there's a lot of information on my paper as I'm writing notes, but engaging him as an ally and then asking for help instead
right.
of, I want to talk to you about blah, blah, blah. Because I do the I want to talk to you about all the time. So I want to switch that, shift it. So it's more
great.
Welcoming and positive.
Cool. Okay, so engaging him as an ally.
And asking
and inviting him to conversations instead of calling him to the principal's office.
Yeah, when I say for disrespect, you know, how do you want to be? When I ask him, how do you want to be in our relationship, in our home? Or is that too deep?
It's a lot for him at that stage.
All right, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, we can talk about it more if you and again, y'all use the forum, play it out with each other, play with language with each other.
Yeah.
But let me give you all an example because my daughter is 19 and she's doing great, and I got a call from her agent this week saying, so when she doesn't do this, should I assume this or that? And I called him back. My response was, when you say it that way, she thinks you're calling her to the principal's office. So I'm still like, at 19, she still needs sometimes for the people around her to be coached how to engage her because she still has that tendency to see herself as being wrong because I didn't start working on this stuff with her till she was, you know, way older than most of your kids. So it takes time for them not to see themselves as bad and wrong. It can take years for some of them. It's a long process, so be patient with yourselves. And with them. Anybody else? Thanks, Tracy, and thanks, Jean Marie, for sharing so much today. Anybody else?
Lindsay?
How can we hold you accountable?
I think one of the things that I wanted to focus on more is just I'm trying to get Sydney to be less defensive about when she makes mistakes or has what she calls accidents. By maybe focusing more on my own fallibility, you know, and the times when I make mistakes and that it's okay.
Ooh.
kind of like what we've been talking about, but take the emphasis off of her for a while and just kind of focus more on me, because I had an epiphany this morning. I overslept my alarm, and consequently it only gave us about 20 minutes to get up to get ready for school. She was rightly kind of irritated with me.
Yeah.
Let me know, and I accepted the culpability for it, but then I kind of wanted her to stop complaining about it at some point, and then she kind of flew back at me with, well, when I'm running late for school, you get mad at me, and it was true.
She's right.
You know, she was rightly pointing out, and then maybe it kind of made me realize maybe I flog a dead horse too much with her, you know, harping on certain things. So, you know, letting her know, hey, we do have to get up for school on time, but mistakes do happen. I apologize to her, but, you know, just kind of letting her know that, I don't know, the best way that I can, that mistakes do happen and it's okay.
But you just pointed something else out, Lindsay, that I don't want to let slide, because it's a great point, is that we do have a tendency to flog a dead horse. So I hate that metaphor, but
I know.
But really, point it out, redirect, and then move on. Don't keep coming back to it. Let it go and move on. We have a tendency to say, remember when, or da-da-da-da, and that's just making them wrong again and again. So great point. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure.
And last call for sharing. Anybody else? I don't want to call names on anyone if you want to share. Anything you want to try to commit to doing just a little bit differently in the coming weeks? So so thanks for being here today. Reminder to please use the forum, reach out to each other, support each other. When you're having those rough days, call it out and let people support you. When you're having celebrations, call them out too, because we all need to remember just to celebrate every little success we can. And if you know, some of you guys are having a hard week, know that Diane and I are here. Feel free to email us or post something on the Facebook or whatever, however you need. Just know that we're here and then you're not alone. Okay? And I'll talk to you all in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Have a great couple weeks.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.